If you're here last weekend, you heard me mention that last weekend and this weekend, our annual fall appeal for the operations of the mission of our parish and all that we do here, so that's happening. And so I'll reserve some time in a minute for some of our parish members to come and say some words besides me this evening. But before that, some comments about the gospel and the readings, which are beautiful readings, especially in light of the theme of our stewardship that we're talking about for the weekend here this time of the year. They do fit together very, very well. So the Lord, again, like last weekend, finds himself on the same journey. He's on a journey to his death. He's heading to a place of offering and sacrifice, and he knows this. And he has told his close followers, like he tells all of us all the time, suffering is ahead, suffering is ahead. It's not going to end well for me. So he's shared that. One would hope that when one shares something like that, one's going to get some sort of sympathy or understanding or some sort of kinship on this hard journey, but the Gospels are clear that that's not what happens to him. In the spirit of the first, reading from Isaiah about the suffering servant, Jesus is very much alone on this walk. How do we know that? Because of tonight's Gospel, among other texts and passages, he shares with them that he's going to be heading off to this awful fate. And what do? They argue along the way about which one of them is the greatest and who's the coolest and who is going to get the cabinet post when they get to Jerusalem and form the new government. That's what's going on in the text, right? So they come bouncing up to Jesus, James and John, the brothers here, and they say to him to start off our passage tonight, hey, do us a favor. Jesus says, well, what do you want? They say, we want to sit at a prominent place in your kingdom, in your glory. So to boil it down, what they're essentially doing is saying it kind of like this: we want all of the glamour and the recognition and the beautiful happy ending and the shiny stuff now, without having to go through any hard work to get there, basically, right? We want the happy ending. We want what's perfect. We want it to be good. We want all this glory, status, prestige, yada yada, without having to really do much besides ask you for it. Sounds great, right? Sounds like living in modern America, doesn't it, you know? Jesus, in his typical fashion, doesn't chastise, doesn't get mad. He throws it back at them and says, well, sure, are you willing to pay for it? Are you willing to pay for it? When he talks about this whole cup business and baptism business, what he's saying is, well, I'm going to be doing some suffering. Are you going to do the same thing? As if to say, do you know what you're getting into? You want the shiny end. Do you know what it's going to cost you? Do you know what it's going to cost you? And they say, sure. And he says, okay. And he ends by saying, I guarantee you will walk as I walk, but at the end of the day, only the Father hands out the glory that you're looking for. So in the dialogue, we have is this interesting dynamic. You know, it is the desire to have the glory. And Jesus says to them, the glory is a good desire. It's a great desire. I share your desire, but just know it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. In other words, what we're on here, Jesus says, is a journey of offering and laying down one's life and of sharing and putting forth one's self. Because if you don't do that, you're not going to have the glory, the resurrection, the fruits, the new life, the expansion that you're seeking. If you don't offer, nothing comes back. It's a journey of handing over. Now, that might seem kind of like throwaway thing for Jesus to say, except there is this extra piece of it, and we as Christians know this because we know the end of the story. Not only does Jesus tell all of us, if you want good things, it's going to cost you, he also says, and by the way, I'll show you how it's done. I'm not just a talker here, he says. I'm going to do it. I will lay down my life. I will do it with you. That's my whole thing. So what is Calvary but the proof that God is willing to pay the ultimate offering on our behalf and for us? And when one understands that and when one knows that, then it becomes easier to follow along on the journey and say, you know, I want to do that too. I'm so inspired by that kind of love that I know that I can hand things over too. How does this play itself out in our world today? This is actually relatively simple to make a bridge to this, isn't it? I think in life, a lot of us say about lots of things, you know, I want the storybook marriage, and family life, you know, with how it's supposed to look on the Hallmark Channel or whatever, you know. And God says, that's great. I want that for you too, but it's going to cost you. Things take sacrifice. They take work. They take hours. They take time. They take putting up with each other. You know, that's how it goes. So you want a good family life and marriage of the storybook kind, of the resurrection glory kind? Yes, but it's going to cost you. But don't worry. I'll cost, I'll sacrifice with you. I want a good community. I want a good nation. God says, I want that for you too. I want your communities to flourish. I want there to be life. I want you to be safe, happy, secure. But it's going to cost you. You have to sacrifice. You got to follow the rules. You got to work hard. There's nothing in theory that's free in this country. Okay? You need to put forth effort. It's going to cost you. I want to be a good mom, dad, teacher, scientist, lawyer, CEO, whatever it is. God says, of course, it's going to cost you. But that's okay, because in the giving, we give life. I want a good parish. I want a good school. I want a good daycare program. I want a good anything around here at St. Francis Cabrini or St. Mary's or Holy Angels. God says, yes, it's going to cost you. That's how it goes. But don't worry. Just remember, I give with you. I'm on the journey with you. And at the end of the day, my handing over my life, God says, I hand over everything, should inspire you to hand over everything too, right? So in the handing over, in the offering, in that journey of giving of oneself, after the pattern of the Savior who gives oneself to us from the altar, on the cross, whatnot, we have the life that we really want. We come bounding up to him saying, hey, we have this great thing. He says, sure, just remember, it's going to cost you, but that's okay. That's how one grows and flourishes. If I can do it, you can do it. You can follow after me, follow my example. Watch me do this for you, be inspired to do it with me. This is a community of givers. This is a community of offerers. And when God says to all of us, it's going to cost you, we end up saying, I think here lots of times, I know, and I'll hand it over. Because they believe in the mission of the gospel, the community, the parish, the city, our ministries, our mission, that's where we hand things over. That's why you parent, why you stay in marriages, why you do anything at all that's worthwhile, because you know the cost is worthwhile. That's the point of the gospel. With that, I would like to invite up to talk tonight Dave and Debbie Schumacher, who are longtime parish members here, and they'll tell you a bit about that and do lots of great behind-the-scenes things here, too. They'll share a little bit of their own love for the community here and the sacrifices that they make out of love to let things flourish here. So with that, I'll give you, there you are, Dave and Debbie.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Father Nathan, for this opportunity to share our story. We are David and Debbie Schumacher, and we've been parishioners here at St. Francis Cabrini for over 30 years. Our four children went to the parish school and received their sacraments here. Parish life was always our life.
When the kids were young, we contributed what we could and always found ways to serve and drilled service into our kids' brains. I always joked with them that it was written on their birth certificates that they were here to serve. And lost my spot. They probably could tell you how many chairs down in the church hall that can be stacked on a rack, and or where the dots on the floor as to where you set up the tables.
I really love the new school mission statement of SFC, Service, Formation, Catholic, because that really sums up what we tried to live when raising our kids. While the kids were growing up, there was no lack of opportunities to serve with them, from school fundraisers to making and serving sandwiches for Franciscan peacemakers. Formation opportunities were also abundant, going on youth mission trips, participating and teaching in religious ed programs, and attending church services outside of Sunday Mass are just a few. And in all of this, We were part of a Catholic community.
But that's the past. Now that we are older and our children are all married, with four grandchildren and one on the way, our family life at Cabrini looks so different. Now, what do we do to serve our Lord and His church?
Our new parish theme is Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a real message of hope. The future is very exciting here at St. Francis Cabrini. One of the many things coming up is that we will soon have a 24-hour perpetual adoration chapel right here in our building. What a great way to enliven our prayer lives.
Father Nathan, Father Carlos are continually offering talks and educational opportunities to help us live out our Catholic faith in dynamic ways. Their homilies on Sunday challenge us to live the world outside Cabrini and believing that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. We also have many opportunities to get together with our parish families and strengthen each other.
One example is the small faith groups that are starting up again. I look forward to my group every week. We just had a parish picnic that wasn't a fundraiser. It was just a chance to get together as a parish family. But we also have those great fundraisers like the spaghetti dinner to support our outreach in Haiti. It's important to remember that for this Catholic family of ours to thrive, all the members need to contribute. And it is just natural that when the members of your parish family are also your friends and you have a common witness to faith, that you want to support it.
As Catholics, we are all part of the mystical body of Christ, and each of us has a role to play in that body. Everyone's role is going to be slightly different depending on your gifts and talents.
You don't have to be a lector or an extraordinary minister of communion, but if you think you have that gift, volunteer. You might like a behind-the-scenes role. Debbie and I are sacristans once a month and wash the liturgical cloths 1 month out of the year. When the Adoration Chapel is completed, you could sign up for a regular time to spend an hour in adoration.
How great is that? You get some quiet time. You get to pray and be with the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. That's awesome. And what an easy way to give some service to our parish. But don't wait to be asked. As we have said, there are many opportunities to serve here at our parish. Read the bulletin, check the website, or call the parish office to look for where you would love to be involved. Ask fellow parish members what they do. If you are already involved in a ministry, invite a friend. Remember, we are all members of this family, and we all have a role to play.
And most of all, pray. Pray as a family. Pray by yourself. Join in the rosary before 10:30 Mass or evening prayer on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Most importantly, participate in the Sunday Mass with all your brothers and sisters in this Catholic community of St. Francis Cabrini.
Thank you so much for your time today. And please spend some time in prayer, considering where you can up your game with your time, talent, and treasure. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.